Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV, the CBS Sports app, and streaming on Paramount Plus.
The following is a GoPowerCat.com production.
It started as a normal Sunday, maybe a little brunch, a little laid-back activity, maybe working in the yard. And then all hell broke loose with the transfer portal. Dylan Edwards comes in for K-State football, and Day-Day Ames heads out the door for K-State basketball. We will discuss today on the K-State Insiders, and let's get it going.
Welcome to the K-State Insiders, your Kansas State sports show, presented by Synergy Financial Partners. Now let's go to the rolling Flint Hills, home of the Cats and Dogs studio. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
Fitz and Big B and Sweet Glenn. I'm going with that today. Sweet Glenn. Your insiders are here for another day. Boys, I hope you had a good Sunday. Brian, you look like you're in the dark. That's okay. Guys, I knew Dylan Edwards was going to come at. I just didn't see it coming on a Sunday, but here we are. Brian, give me your takeaway on this ragged road that led Dylan Edwards back to where it all began, Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, look, the transfer portal is insane. To say it's anything other than insane is fooling yourself. We talked off air about this, Fitz, and I kind of gave you my thoughts on personally sometimes seeing in an 18-year-old kid. Since the decisions that you make, you're making them because somebody else wants you to necessarily make them. Now, I'm not saying that's the case, and I'm not saying anybody's parents put pressure on them or anything like that, but you kind of get as a kid, hey, what does somebody want you to do? And then you do it. You know what? Sometimes when you get a little older, the decision, you know what? That was great, but now it's time for me to do, regardless of who gets upset with me, I'm just going to do what I want to do. Right. The chips away. The thing about not enough wisdom on our parts as far as kids, players, because no matter what decision that they make, 9 times out of 10, everybody's going to have a favorite, but it doesn't matter. And that sometimes this is what it is. So bottom line, I think it's great. Yeah. Wanted to go, you know, look, if somebody offers you more money or whatever the situation, sometimes that matters. Sometimes yeah. It just matters, man. I mean, and I'm not here to begrudge anybody or the line playing for Deion Sanders. That matters. And again, anybody that doesn't believe that it does, you're fooling yourself, or anybody who doesn't think that that's not a big deal. But
so what, Big B, you are breaking up big time. Why don't you back out and come back in for us? Glenn, it's just you and me for the moment, and you just went blurry. This is off to
I was wondering if it was my Wi-Fi or if it was his cutting out. Okay.
Yeah, Brian, hop out and hop back in because you were really jumping all over the place there. Glenn, it was a crazy day. But Dylan Edwards is a huge pickup. There's no doubt about it. This is really helpful to K-State football. It really opens up the playbook, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it this way. He put up some decent numbers as a true freshman at Colorado. It wasn't record-breaking numbers, but it was pretty good numbers. And he did so behind – and, Brian, you can confirm this – behind an O-line that was not very good at Colorado. And so to put up those numbers, it wasn't because he had huge holes to run through. It was because he's ridiculously fast. And so make no mistake about it, it's a big pickup. And I think that him and DJ Giddens have skill sets that complement each other. Quite frankly, I think it's in ways very similar to the duo they had in Trayshon Ward and DJ Giddens, except for I think you're getting a 1 year progressed DJ Giddens, and I think you're getting a much better version of Trayshon Ward, right? And I'm not saying they're the same running back, but similar in that maybe more speedy, shifty. And DJ is the type of guy that's going to run over everybody that gets in his way. And so I think they complement each other. Make no mistake about it, DJ will get a lot of carries, and this doesn't change that. I think everyone's smart enough to figure that out. He was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. I think he's on pace to be in the conversation among the Ollie Gordons and the Devin Neals. But I think that the two of them back there just make it difficult to stop. And by the way, it allows you to keep DJ Giddens fresh, right? And when Trayshon Ward was hurt last year for a couple games, DJ was good, but you began questioning how many times can we give him the ball 40 times or whatever it was. It wasn't 40, but you know what I mean?
Yep.
And so it allows you to keep both those guys fresh so that when Dylan breaks off a 75-yard run, he doesn't have to hustle back to the line and get it again and then get rocked and he's just worn out. And likewise, when they want DJ to carry it up the middle four snaps in a row, they can give him a breather there. So I think it's a heck of a 1-2 punch back there. And in 2024 in college football, if you're holding grudges, you're just going to be angry a lot, I think. So I think you give him a fresh start. And also, I'll add this. I just trust Chris Klieman. I trust Connor Riley. And I think that those guys would not have invited him back into the program if they thought that he was going to decommit this summer, exactly. If they thought that he was going to be a diva, if they thought that he was going to come in and say, I want all the carries and DJ shouldn't touch the ball. If they thought any of that was true and that he was going to be a locker room cancer, I trust Chris Klieman enough that he wouldn't have opened the door for this to happen if he didn't come with the right attitude on that weekend visit.
Brian, they needed a backup running back. This is almost the best case scenario. They get that and so much more out of Dylan Edwards. How much does this open up the playbook for Connor Riley?
A ton. I'll back up what Glenn said. Hopefully my Wi-Fi is working.
You're better.
I don't know. But what Glenn said, he's right. It gives DJ Giddens a break. But to piggyback off of that, he's also going to line up in the backfield with him. So to be able to do that a heck of a lot more than what we saw last year. Look, we can just say it, guys. Dylan Edwards is better than Ward was. He's a better football player. It's okay to say that. DJ Giddens, it's okay to say that he's better than what he was last year. And so the offense is going to be better. The offensive line, as long as it comes together, which I don't see any indication that it's not going to. I think that they're going to be better. Not to mention, Dylan Edwards can play in the slot. I think that's what a lot of people are missing out on, is that, he might be a backup running back, and we're going to use him in that. I think he's going to get a lot more snaps than what people anticipate. It's not going to be, okay, DJ gets 4 or 5 carries, we put Dylan in for 2, and then I don't think it's going to be that. I think we're going to get this kid on the field and get the ball in his hands as many times as possible on the perimeter. That's something that K-State's been missing for a number of years. Somebody super, super explosive like that, that we can get the ball out to and go do some things like that and catch the ball out of the backfield. I'm not saying DJ's not good at that, but Dylan Edwards is better than him at doing that. And I just think the offensive playbook opens up tremendously for what we're going to be able to do. Another thing, guys, to keep in mind, having Dylan Edwards and in the backfield is going to keep Avery Johnson from having to run the ball 20 times a game. I know a lot of people want to see him run it. Do we, though? We want to see him run it in certain situations.
Right.
15 to 20 times a game, I don't want to see that. I'll be honest. I don't.
No.
I want to see him throw the ball 30 times, but I don't want to see him running the ball 15 to 20 times a game. This allows us to not have to do that.
I'm all about what could be
20 times as long as the defense isn't adjusting and they just keep picking up yardage. But you're right. Go ahead.
You're for running him 20 times. You're not for him getting tackled 20 times. Let's just be clear. He can run as many times as he wants if he's sliding and getting out of bounds. But we don't want him taking too many hits. But no, I mean, you're talking about the most versatile, potentially, K-State offense in how long? If you look at the duality they have in that running back room now, and plus a guy like Joe Jackson that I think they can take the next step, you're talking about a quarterback that's dual threat would be an understatement. And then you're talking about wide receivers that I think have some versatility, like Jace Brown, Jaden Jackson on a jet sweep type of action and what they can do and screen passes. And it's an offense that's anything but one dimensional. So I'm excited to see what they do and how they're able to get creative. But also I think we would all agree, like, I don't want them to get creative just for the sake of getting creative. You know, if DJ's going to average 6 yards a carry, run behind the tackles, then let him do it, man. But they have the option. That's for sure.
Cornelio, I see you down there, but let me ask the guys this. Maybe start with Glenn. This is a really comparable backfield maybe to the best in college football. I'm just going to say that. If Avery pans out to be what we think, we have enough on Dylan to think he's going to be explosive, and DJ's an absolute workhorse. They're all from Kansas. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely incredible what this little span in the state of Kansas is offering K-State football and Kansas football. There's so much talent right now in the state. 25 is loaded again, but this is pretty cool, and it's a good advertisement to future Kansas State, the Kansas recruits, as in the term of the state of Kansas.
Mm, absolutely is. And let's be honest, guys, K-State needed it, right? Like, they needed, not that recruitment was struggling, but with the change that's happening in Lawrence, which is a massive change, and Lance Leipold has that thing going in the right direction, it was going to get harder to recruit the state of Kansas. So what do you do to continue recruiting those battles? You put a billboard up that I saw on Highway 24 the other day with Austin Moore, Desmond Purnell, Avery Johnson, and DJ Giddens. Four guys from Kansas who are four of your best players. Now you added Dylan Edwards into that mix, and the list goes on besides those guys. You just had a Kansas kid get drafted in the third round from your team. That helps recruiting a ton in a time when that recruitment race, make no mistake about it, for those kids in Kansas is going to heat up, and you have a stronger competitor down the road trying to get some of those same kids. So yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see these Kansas kids thriving on a team in their home state.
Yeah. Brian, I don't remember a time when, you know, there's been some great players from the state of Kansas in K-State, you know, Sproles and Jordy Nelson jump out at you. I don't remember a time to have this kind of convergence of talent in, you know, visible players at all from the state of Kansas. As he mentioned, as Glenn mentioned, your two main linebackers are from the state of Kansas. Mm-hmm. This is really an incredible moment in K-State football that has always recruited the state of Kansas, but now it's absolutely paying dividends.
Well, the thing about it is that the more, I think there's more good football players in the state of Kansas. That's what it is. There's more of them. It's not that there wasn't always good players, but there just wasn't an abundance of them that could play at this level of college football. There's more of those guys now, which I think is a testament, to be honest, guys, to high school coaching. I go, you know, I live down here in Texas, and I see high school coaching, and it's phenomenal. And you know, it's not just, oh, well, everybody's bred to play in Texas to play high school football. Well, they are, but they're also getting taught how to play football. And I think it's a testament to a lot of youth programs and putting a lot of emphasis into that. I think it's high school coaching. I think a lot of that has to do with the coaching that they're receiving. And now that other schools are saying, you know what, this guy can come and help us quickly. He doesn't have to come and sit for 2 years, 2.5 years, or 3 years before he can contribute. These guys can contribute now. I think that's more important than ever, guys, especially with the transfer portal the way that it is, that they're coming into places like Kansas and getting guys and saying, hey, this guy can help us now. And for K-State to be able to continue to dominate, like I said, it's very important to get the best kids out of Kansas. It's always been important, no matter what state you're in. You've got to get, if you're a state school or you're in that state, you've got to be able to get the best guys out of your state. And Kansas State always did a good job of that. But just what you said, Glenn, Kansas is good. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Kansas has gotten better. And you know that pains me to say, but they're good. They are. And to be able to get the best guys out of Kansas, K-State needed this. I think it's important. And not only do they need this, the guys are playing well. It's not that you're getting right. the guys and that, you know, you win the recruiting battle. They're getting on the field and they're playing well. Mm-hmm. That's how you continue to win the recruiting battles, is people having success staying in Kansas. You know, you haven't seen a ton of them transfer all over the place, which is great. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just even more important for Kansas because, yeah. like you mentioned, Fitz, more Kansas. I mean, 2025 class going to be full of a bunch of kids that can play Power Four football. It's going to be important K-State gets in there and gets a lot of those guys. Mm-hmm.
Glenn, I haven't covered high school football in this state for a very long time. In fact, I think there's leather helmets involved. But back when I was more attached to high school football, there were such limited opportunities for coaching and, you know, off-season training for mm-hmm. football. I mean, I do appreciate the fact that the state of Kansas emphasizes multi-sport athletes because that helps right. them become better football players, but it might stunt their growth as a football player initially. It seems to me that the Kansas State High School Activities Association maybe has allowed more training, more time in the weight room, more off-season with coaches, and it's beginning to show up in the quality of players.
Yeah, I don't know the exact logistics of it as far as if there was a change made, but these guys are absolutely getting work in year-round, whether that's through their schools or through 7-on-7 type of stuff yeah. throughout the summer. And I think you're seeing football, like people take a lot of pride in football in the state of Kansas and it becoming, you know, a higher priority. And I think that's cool to see. I've seen it even within our viewing area, programs that maybe you wouldn't have thought of as a football school or a power football program that all of a sudden that now have been good 2, 3, 4 years in a row and are producing kids who are going on to play at the next level each class now. Yeah. And you're seeing more of that from various high schools. And so it's certainly exciting to see. And I think it's cool that it's not, you know, it's not just Derby now, but there's actually a bunch of programs in the state of Kansas and in different regions, right? They're in the Wichita yeah. area, the Kansas City area, the Topeka area, in different regions throughout the state that are taking pride in their football programs.
Absolutely. Let's get to the super chat from our friend Cornelio. Good morning. Good. I can't even read, guys. It's good afternoon, fellas. Question, does the addition of Edwards potentially make our freshman running back think about bolting town? Maybe. Big B, this is the theme of this episode of The Insiders, the comings and goings of the transfer portal. We'll get to Day-Day in a bit, but he's right. If you just went through spring football and thought you were going to be the backup or in the rotation, and now in walks Dylan Edwards, it has to be deflating. But I sense that if this was a basketball situation, he's right. gone. Joe Jackson's probably who we're talking about. Football might be a little bit different. You're going to see the field as a third string running back at some point with K-State. And for Joe Jackson, who's another explosive player, it might actually give an opportunity to fill some more roles. I don't know.
Yeah, football and basketball, very different. So that's probably the biggest thing. And sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Big B, but that's the thing that stands out to me. Plus, basketball, you're talking about one and done sometimes. You're talking about guys who be like, what do you mean I'm going to sit this year? I don't want to be back next year. I'm going pro. And football, they're going to be there at least 3 years anyway. So if they're not on the field that first year, it's not always the other world.
Yep. Big B?
No, I totally agree. I think it's something that we have to think about. But here's the thing. If you're leaving now, I think it's more of a I'll never get to play, or I thought I was going to get to play, or maybe I'm not good enough, whatever the case may be. But I just think that is part of college athletics as a whole right now. You bring somebody in, it doesn't matter if you bring in a freshman. It doesn't matter if you bring in somebody that from the transfer portal. Whenever you bring it in, mm-hmm. you have to recruit your own guys first. You hear that all over the country. We got to retain our guys. We got to recruit our guys first. So that's going to be no matter what. But you can't be afraid. I know the key word or the trigger word out there is loyalty. Nobody's loyal anymore. That the kids aren't loyal, and that's the key word. And I'm like, look, man, we got to stop with the loyalty thing, because if we're bringing in kids from the transfer portal, why should the kids here have to stay? I go, so are you bringing in somebody that wasn't loyal to their previous program? Is that what we're doing and saying that the kids that leave aren't loyal? We got to throw that word completely out of all this and just say, do what's best for your program right now. If you do that, that's all that we should be worried about. And kids are going to do what's best for them. Us as fans do what's best for us. Mm-hmm. Coaches do what's best for them and the program. And that's it. And leave it at that. So I just think you're missing the boat if we don't think that kids may leave if somebody comes in. But that's okay, because that's the way the game's played right now.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say, Big B, is that's okay, right? Like, we got this idea that we can't recruit this kid because this kid might leave. Ultimately, if the new guy's better, that's okay.
That's okay.
Now, I'm not saying that, like, there's obviously value in keeping your word to a student athlete. Right. And if you promised him when he committed that he was going to have this role, like, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I think you should. But the bottom line is that, you know, I think we get worried about, well, how is this guy going to react to this? Well, if this guy's better, then if he wants to leave, that's okay. And by the way, we don't have to be mad at him. Oh, no. You didn't want any competition. You want to go somewhere where you can't compete for the job. Not necessarily. I mean, guys, like, at this point, like, we've said it before, but, like, college athletes have become professional athletes through NIL and the portal and what everything else is. And so unless you're the Falcons, I was going to say, if you sign a quarterback, you know, for 4 years and however many hundreds of millions of dollars,
right,
that probably means that the other guy's going to leave. But some places it means you're going to draft another quarterback in the top 10. That's besides the point. But what I'm saying is that's normal. That's how athletics work. Now, like we said, that's different at different positions. If you get a good safety, that doesn't mean that all your other safeties are going to leave. At quarterback, it might, like we saw that, right? And so it's different across different sports, different across different positions, but the consensus that we've come to is that it's all right. You, nobody has to be mad at anybody.
No.
Brian, I'm just going to be blunt here. It strikes me, in the current environment, football players are used to competing for positions and time. Mm-hmm. It's just part of the sport. You're never going to be the only one at your position. You're never going to be the only one good at your position, maybe at high school level, but in college level, they're always going to be recruiting depth because injuries happen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Basketball players really strike me as, oh, okay, I'm just going to leave instead of compete. And if it's best for them, that's great. But as we get ready to talk about Day-Day Ames, I'm afraid he jumped in the portal with real no opportunities that jump out at you. Maybe there is, and that's why he did it, but I don't see him going to a power program and starting, and he's going to be in the same situation. But football players seem to stick it out a little bit better. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you are. Basketball players they're just trying to go somewhere. I mean, football players are trying to go somewhere and play as well. Don't get me wrong. But basketball, it's almost like, and I know I've talked about this before, the NBA doesn't believe in development.
Right.
Where in college, they believe in development. So at least you get to a school, you stick it out, you get developed, and maybe you're only good for 1 year. How many guys got drafted in the first round that only had one good year of college, and the rest of the time they were developing, maybe they jumped schools, whatever. That's part of it. But in the NBA, they don't believe in development. They draft on only potential. So you got to get somewhere and show people what you can do. And I think that's part of it. Now, granted, everybody's not going to the NBA, but you can't tell an 18 or 19 year old that they're not going until they've proven that they can't go. Mm-hmm. Well, then once that happens, Fitz, I think there's kind of a shift, because then you start to see older teams, and who's won the last few national championships has been older teams. Mm-hmm. So they kind of stick around and say, you know what? The development is here. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to be a first round draft pick. So what am I doing? It's time to get somewhere where I can be the best I can possibly be and play. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Guys are just jumping in the portal on basketball. The first sign of somebody coming in, well, I'm out of here. I got to go.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay. I think you're – when people say they're afraid to compete, I usually take – you know me. I usually take the players back all the time. I usually do. But when you see certain things, you're like, well, hold on a second. What are we doing? I mean, everybody can't start. You know, I get that. And you don't even know that. I mean, unless you're just, well, I know I'm not better than them, so that's it. I'm like, I don't know. It just seems weird to me.
Yeah, that it takes a special kid for a player to admit, I can't beat him out.
Right.
I mean, we saw it with Avery. You know, quarterback's left. I can't beat him out.
Yep.
You know, the self-realization that he's different. That doesn't happen very often.
No.
If you get to work and get working on your craft, like Marquise Noel did, you can beat people out. Mm-hmm. But it is very interesting, the differences in the portal. Getting back to Dylan Edwards, though, we've got some questions about this, but it's not really a question. But Mike says, you can have DJ in the backfield and Dylan in the slot, which I think we'll see a lot of. Oh my, or two back set, dangerous. Brian, might we see more two back set now because of the varied weapons?
Triple option, baby.
I'm looking at it like that. You know, man, you could fake the handoff to DJ up the middle and run the option with the other two, and good luck, defense. Have fun.
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of, first of all, on short yardage plays, you're going to see DJ in the backfield, just what you said. You're going to see him at fullback. Maybe we give it to him. Maybe we don't. You're going to see a lot of split backs. You're going to see a lot of triangle sets where Avery's the deep guy and they're both flanking him. You're going to see a lot of crossbuck action where you hand the ball, fake it one way, and then you go the other way and hand it. You're going to see a lot of different things because or let me just say this. You should see a lot of different things because of the versatility of the backfield. That's what I'm more excited about. The versatility that we have is what every offense wants. And now that you're able to do that and you can line up in so many different formations and put so much pressure on a defense, no matter what. And the one thing we're forgetting, guys, we can also play action and throw the ball over people's heads doing that same thing that we have been just screaming about on the K-State Insiders for 2 years. Throw the ball deep down the field. Well, this play action is going to allow us to be able to do that. As long as our offensive line comes together, which I think it will, and by all accounts it has, and it'll only get better, I just think we've got something on our hands here.
Glenn is going to give you some good highlights. And good highlights mean viewership.
That's right.
And your charming face means viewership. I look for a big year from you.
I hope so. A breakout season from Glenn on the way. No, yeah, I mean, it's exciting, and that stuff builds your brand, right? I mean, Avery Johnson, when he ran for, what was it, 3 or 4 touchdowns against Texas Tech, that was all over. Like, I had – like, I'm from Illinois. I had friends from my hometown in Illinois. Like, holy shit, this guy, Kansas State guy, running for this many touchdowns. Like, and they hadn't heard of him, but now they heard of him, and now they know about Kansas State, and people tune in to watch exciting players, right? I mean, like, let's look at Iowa women's basketball, right? People tune in because Caitlin Clark was electric. And so when you have electric playmakers, like I think they have in Avery Johnson, I think they are hoping they have in guys like Dylan Edwards and Jace Brown, that builds the brand. You going back to recruiting, that helps with recruiting too, for sure. So,
yep, I agree. I totally agree. This is going to be very exciting stuff for K-State football, for K-State fans. I think it's pretty cool what's going on right now. But
is it go to break.
Go ahead. Go what?
I was going to say, is it unreasonable for fans to like be not hoping for, but like expecting to be playing in the game in Arlington? Because I don't think it is.
No, I Brian, particularly in this environment of the altered Big 12 into the 16 school alignment, it's wide open. And now I feel like K-State
and you
has,
don't play Utah.
Yeah. An assuring weapon that maybe they're going to have enough offense to get there.
I didn't think that it was out of the realm before.
Yep, I agree.
Right, I thought that it was in the realm no matter what. This just enhances what we already have and just enhances our ability to be even better. Look, there's only one football to go around, but the more you spread a football around, the better your team is. That's just, you know, it's not the days of handing the ball to a guy and 30, 35 times and just run it up the middle or run the ball, whatever the case may be. Those days are over. The more you can spread the ball around and get the ball down the field as quick as possible, the better your football team is. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts, especially the way that they make defenses play defense these days. I go, you got to be able to spread the ball around. It's less wear and tear on somebody's body, less chance of somebody getting hurt, because we know the more fatigue somebody gets, that's when injuries start to happen. It's just the way it is, unfortunately. Not that they can't happen at any other time.
Right, right.
But, you know, just – the more tired you are, the more chances are you're more susceptible to being hurt. I think K-State fans need to expect to be in Arlington. That's what doesn't I'm mean saying. That they'll get there, but I think they need to expect to get there. But you all know me. I'm a person that I say expect to be there every year, no matter what. So
that's the mindset you have to have.
Yeah.
And you know what? For all of the bodies that are on a college football field, 11 on each side, a lot of movement, a lot of hitting. College football is about creating one-on-one opportunities and betting that your guy is better and is going to win that battle.
Yes.
Well, they just got another dude who's pretty damn good at winning one-on-one battles and running away from a defense. It can only be good things for K-State's offense. But as I said, after the break, we'll get into the departure of Day-Day Ames from the basketball program, and fans are getting alarmed at the number of departures from basketball. We'll all discuss it on the K-State Insiders after this break and a word from our sponsor, Synergy Financial Partners. We'll be right back.
At Synergy Financial Partners, the mission is to change the way Americans plan for their financial future. Synergy doesn't just offer you a financial plan. At Synergy, the goal is to help you find your best financial future. Learn more at synergyfinancial.com.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
This is the K-State Insider, sponsored by Synergy Financial Partners. I hope you're having a good Monday. I'm hoping it's kind of a calm Monday after that Sunday I just had. It was basically a full day of work.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. Day-Day Ames hit the portal not long after we found out Dylan Edwards were coming to K-State. Day-Day is leaving K-State, and he was a fan favorite, one of those three freshmen. And the irony being, of the three freshmen, the one we thought might leave is the only one left here in Michaela Rich. And there has been a lot of attrition in this basketball program. Glenn, is this just a matter of how business is done now with the transfer portal and players wanting to come and go?
Well, I think it might be in part. Plus, I think Tang wants to take their team and their recruitment to new levels. And I think he recently got the NIL to do so. And when you do that, you're going to bring in players that you couldn't previously get to, which means that the guys that are there might connect the dots that these guys that are coming in are going to be there, and are going to either compete for their minutes or take their minutes or both. And so I don't know. I think if you're a Kansas State fan, I think two things can be true at once. I think maybe you don't have to love it. I think as fans, sometimes we go one of two ways. Either it's falling apart. We had six guys transfer. It's a mess. Everybody's leaving because the program's in shambles. And these are the Facebook comments I see on our news page, of course. But then on the opposite end, a guy leaves and if he would have stayed, you said he's great and he's going to be a big impact. But then he leaves and you say, well, he just wasn't good enough to play here anyway. So, and it's like, we can meet somewhere in the middle here, right? Like, we don't have to freak out that they transfer. And we also don't have to say that it's we didn't want him. Like, Day-Day Ames was good. Like, he was good and he was going to play next year. He started 16 games as a true freshman. Yep. Make no mistake about it. He was a good player. So are you thrilled that he left? No. But are you freaking out? I certainly wouldn't think so, right? Especially if you get this – I don't know what you guys are reporting, but if they get the battle kid from Arkansas, then there's no need to freak out. I think as a Kansas State fan, you're probably saying, how many years in a row are we going to do this? Because in the 3 years under Tang, they've had almost brand-new teams each of the 3 years. I know they've brought back two scholarship players. I don't know how many they brought back last year. And then this year they'll bring back I don't know how many from last year. So – it's like the portal, you're going to have roster turnover every year, and that's normal. But I don't know if it has to be 10 new guys every year.
I know.
I don't know what the sweet spot is, and it might depend on the year, right? It doesn't have to be the same every year. But I would like to see it be, maybe each season you graduate two or three, and then you lose two or three to the portal, and then you bring in two or three high school guys, and you bring in two or three transfers to replace them. That's just me, but there's a reason that I'm not hired by a college basketball staff yet. So maybe I don't know.
Glenn, I want to congratulate you. Your training for a Vegas ventriloquist act is really going well. Because for more than half that answer, you were completely frozen, but audio was coming through fine.
As long as you can hear me. The people listening on Spotify. Yeah.
People podcasts are like, that was a great answer. And everyone,
what are you talking about? He wasn't frozen.
He's frozen. Big B, it is interesting. And I'm beginning to wonder if this is sustainable, but I also think he's legitimately trying to get some young players to grow into old players. But as you mentioned earlier, all the teams playing deep into the tournament are old.
Yep.
If you want to be deep into the tournament, you got to get old.
Yep.
And it's just a crazy change in college basketball. Leaning on freshmen, even if they're really talented, probably gets you fired.
Right. I mean, you can have some talented freshmen, no doubt, and you still got to recruit high school kids, no doubt. But I think look, I'll just talk to K-State fans when I say this. You're going to have turnover every single year. So when you see it, don't be surprised and jump off the bridge because you think the program is going down the tube. That's not the case. And I'll play devil's advocate on this. K-State didn't make the tournament this year. How many kids do we really want back from that? That's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying kids are bad or anything like that or can't develop, but how many kids do you want back from a team that wasn't good enough to make the tournament when you have the ability to go out and get other kids to make your team better? You know, if we didn't have that ability, that'd be something different. But I think we saw that before the transfer opened. K-State struggled for a lot of years, and we weren't able to go get better right away. Now that we can, it's almost like, well, we're mad about that. Well, don't be mad. Be happy. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I don't think you have to get 10 guys every year. Because first of all, if you're getting 10 guys every year, then what are you doing the previous years?
Right.
You know, what's the coaching staff doing that these guys, number one, that you have 10 openings?
Yeah.
You know, that would be the one thing. But I will say this. I go, if K-State would have won and made a Sweet 16, I don't think they have this many openings on their team.
Right.
I don't think that at all. I think this is a product of we weren't as good, we didn't win, and the coaching staff is saying, I'm not going to sit here and lose when we have the ability to go out and get other guys to make us better. That's what I'm going to do. Now, granted, do I want to develop some guys? Sure they do. They want to keep their own guys. Absolutely. But if it comes down to winning and losing, which is what fans should care about, winning and losing, do we want a guy to just say, you know what, we have this guy, we want to develop him, we want to be around 3 or 4 years, and we feel good about that? Or do we want to win 27 games? Because to me, I would just take the 27 games and move on, even if we had a new team every year.
Right.
Now, I'm different when it comes to that, and I know a lot of people don't like it that way. I don't even like it that way. I'll be honest. I don't like it that way. But that's just the way it is.
Cost of business.
Since it's the way that it is, I just dive right head first into it and say, okay, let's just go be good.
Yeah.
Okay, before I pop up. Go ahead. Go ahead, Glenn.
I would say the only thing I would say, and concerning is not the right word, but like maybe it bums you out a little bit, is that a few of these guys now that just left were his recruits. And so I really don't care. I don't want to say I don't care, but if it's a guy that he inherited, okay, well, I don't know if we lost Fitz or he turned his camera off. If it's a guy that you inherited, okay, well, hey, you didn't even recruit this guy. He was there. Maybe you liked him and you talked him into staying, but that's fine. He left. But – it's like you pick these guys out. And so if it's a guy who said, I don't want to compete for minutes, why did we bring that guy in or whatever it is, right? And so it's like, oh, well, that guy wasn't the type of guy that we want in our program. Well, why'd you offer him? And so I think maybe with time that comes is that now they have their NIL in place. The staff gets settled in and the guys they're getting are the type of guys they want. But I guess I should also add that just because a guy leaves doesn't mean that he was a bad culture fit or that you recruited the wrong guy.
Nope.
That's just how it works.
Yep. Just how it works.
Exactly.
And you're 100% right.
The way they do things now. I had to turn off my camera because the dogs needed to leave the room.
Oh boy.
Yeah. It was important stuff. Hey, before I pop this comment up from Pure here, I want to say, I don't necessarily know that this is true, but he does lead us right into an interesting topic that we really haven't ever discussed. And I don't hear discussed very often in college sports. Day-Day wanted to stay, but his agent wanted him to transfer. These kids all have agents now. This is insanity. They're college players, but they're now dealing with NIL contracts. So you kind of need an agent. And from what I heard, I know his agent thought he could get more elsewhere. Brian, these kids need to remember one thing about an agent. They're trying to get paid too.
Of course.
So if they don't get you more money, shucks, I'll try with the next guy.
Yep.
They're not really, at the end of the day, a lot of them, if they're really good agents, are dealing with pro players.
Yeah.
At the college level, they're making money, but not at that level. And they're probably trying to generate income over what's best for you at times. Not all agents. I'm not putting everyone in that category, but this is a wild frontier now, and I'm afraid that's going on.
Yeah, and you said it best, Fitz. If they're a good agent, if they're an average agent, they're dealing with professional athletes. So you're not dealing with NIL college agents. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for it. I'm just saying if you're worth your salt, that's kind of where you're dealing with. Because why? Because that's where the money is. Yep. Second of all, to me, and again, this is just my feeling, I think that these NIL agents are preying on these kids. The reason that I say that is kids don't understand at this age, the agent works for them and not the other way around. And if that's the case with Day-Day Ames and that he wanted to stay, he should have just told his agent, hey, man, do your job. Get me more money here. I'm not leaving. But when you're a kid, you're not used to telling somebody that. You know, you don't have somebody that's, and I don't know anything about him or his family or anything like that. So maybe you're not used to telling another adult, hey, you work for me. I want to be here. I want to get NIL here. You get me the money here. And that's it. Where as a professional, they'll do it all the time because the first thing a professional does, you either get me what I want or you're fired. And that's the difference. Again, I'm not trying to badmouth any agent, you know, NIL agent, because I'm sure there's a lot of them that are good out there. But if this is really the case, I feel bad. I really do, guys, because I think this is a case where a kid may want to, if he wanted to make a decision, somebody told him, well, you need to go somewhere else because we can get you more money, versus them actually doing their job and just getting them the money at where they wanted to be.
Yeah. And you want to know how come players choose schools so quickly. It's usually the agents done all of this behind the scenes. And as soon as they're in the portal, I got you more money. I got you a good place. Here you go. This is where you're going.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how I want to pick a school, but if they're in it for the money and the schooling isn't important, I guess go for it.
Yeah. It's troubling. Like I said, that's the part that I don't like. Transfer portal, NIL, all this stuff, it all has its faults. It all has its things that need to be tweaked. But I feel like some of this stuff, and we could say it's always went on, and I get that part, but in this instance, and this is what we're talking about, it looks like an agent may have taken advantage of a kid and steered him somewhere that he didn't want to be. If that's the case, I'll be quite frank, it pisses me off.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I completely agree. Our friend Jan, who is here every show. Are the guys who head up the NIL, the Wildcat NIL, actually agents like KSU alumni? Are they agents also? No, they work with the agents.
Right.
They're the ones that – see, this is what's gotten really interesting about college sports. You still technically can't tamper with anyone. But the NIL is independent of your university, and the agents are independent of the player they represent. Yep. So there's no rules against them having conversations. So this is the biggest thing that's going to change here, maybe in the next year, is they're going to figure out a way to bring these collectives in-house to make it part of the athletic department. Now, I think some schools might push back on that because they do have this ability to bend the rules to their favor by recruiting without it coming from their staff.
When it says that we don't run their building. Yet.
Yeah.
Yep.
But at some point athletic departments are like, we've got too much money flowing all around and we have no control over it. And it's affecting our student athletes. I think they're going to have to bring these inside, but no, the NIL people aren't agents. They more represent the school, even though they technically don't work for the school. It's a screwy situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing about it, for me, when you talk about that, number one, you're right. But the schools that are going to push back are going to be the ones that the money's free flowing and wheeling and dealing all over the place. The ones that have good athletic departments, they're going to want to be in control. You know, they're going to want to know where every dollar is being spent and where it's going. So you'll know the ones that are struggling right now. They're be the ones that are pushing back. Don't want this. We want the money to be willy nilly all over the place. And the ones that aren't are going to be the ones where, number one, they're very good already. Number two, their athletic department, like K-State's, is in order. They know where the money. They're doing a good job with the money. They're not underwater like a lot of these athletic departments are, which to me, if you're a Power Five and you're underwater, Lord have mercy. I mean, just use a calculator for crying out loud. It's just so much money. And for you to be underwater is just ridiculous, in my opinion. But I see how you can get there, though. Don't get me wrong. I see how you can absolutely get there. And working with the deficit, I mean, the country works with the deficit. So it is what it is.
Yep, indeed. Glenn, I know you probably have a big gun agent, probably out of New York City or something.
Yeah.
And I have an agent. It's my buddy Jay, who just looks over my contracts. He's not really my agent because he knows I'm not marketable doing anything else. He couldn't get me a job picking up trash. It's too much work, man. But Glenn, this is college kids having agents to negotiate NIL contracts.
Yeah.
How the hell did we get here so quickly?
I don't know. And I'm with you, Brian. I worry probably first. And the thing is, like you say, here's the problem is I'm going to say, oh, I worry about this with their agents. And then somebody says, oh, you think they shouldn't make any money? Nobody's saying that. But I do wonder, like what you said, Brian, about these agents. A player says, well, how come, like you said, how come I can't stay here? And, well, you don't really understand how it works because this kid's 18, 19, right? And then the agent, who might be 40, says, well, it's kind of – I'd explain it to you, but it's kind of complicated. So just trust me. We got to do this. Sorry. Right. This is the best. There's no way we can make this work. We got to do this. And the kid maybe either doesn't want to say or doesn't know better and says, okay, I guess this is what's best. And it's just the agent wanting to get the most money for him. And whether the school they're going to go to is going to play him or develop him or whatever. And I'm not speaking to anyone specific, but just generally speaking, you're talking about, hopefully these 18 and 19 year olds are careful with who they trust and also have good parents who can call out the BS when these agents say, well, this is just how it's done. This is why I'm getting 80% of it. Right. Like they don't know. So yeah, you got to have somebody, they need an agent for their agents.
It's true.
They need an agent to look over the contracts that their agents are offering them.
Yep, you're so right. Pierre, I'm going to need you to come to every show we do because you're putting out great topics for me. He just asked about this, and nobody's really mentioned this. Day-Day went into the portal with the no-contact banner on him.
Yeah.
This is something I've never heard of until recently, and I find it interesting because that tells me his agent has been shopping him, and they might have two or three schools that they're zeroing in on. And Day-Day's saying, don't call me, call him. You know, he's taking care of it and he's going to help me pick the school. But I thought the no contact thing was.
Well, it's a little weird, right? Because I don't know where it was or who it was, but I saw some report that I saw was that he had no contact, but that his recruitment was, quote, fully open, which those two things don't go together, right? So I don't know what's up.
Yeah.
Well, I think he put that out to head off all of us that say you already know where you're going because your agents put it out there. But if I say that my
fully open
is wide open, then I'm trying to head off at the pass. It's like at some point you got to, it's kind of what you said, Glenn, you got to read through the BS and get through it. But once you do, you get there eventually.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what this is. He knows where he's going. He just, you know, he's been shopped or he may not know, but there's two or three places that he's making his own decision on that he's or his agent has already got lined up for him.
I like to keep one of these in my life at all times. The serial killer here. come on, guys. You should have known NIL plus transfer portal was going to be manipulated to make it a free for all, least common denominator. Killer, You're exactly right. I just didn't expect it this quickly. And at this pace, the entire collective environment, this whole, you know, creation that has been, you know, popped up in the last 3 years or so is going to collapse.
Yeah.
They just won't be able to keep up. And there's another question about down here about can Casey just offer Day-Day more money and he'll stay? That is another interesting wrinkle now to college athletics. Every coach has an NIL budget. They know what it is, and they're right on a salary cap. And trying to fit all the pieces together is maybe they said at this time, Day-Day, we can't give you more money because we don't know who we're bringing in yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the battle kid from Arkansas, you might need a lot of money to get him here.
Yeah.
Maybe when it's all said and done, if Day-Day still isn't totally locked in on where he wants to go and K-State gets to 11 players, has a better grasp on how far their budget for NIL payments is going to go, maybe at that point they'll go back to him and say, okay, we got some money and we think you can play.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be another possibility that he got into the portal and said, you know what, I want more money, but I don't want my recruitment to be open because I want the ability to come back to K-State if I want to come back. Maybe it seems like a weird way to do it, but you know what? If you got to put your name in there before the quarter closes, then I get that. I would bet the percentage though, guys that go into the portal that actually come back to the school, I would bet it's less than 1%. Yeah, I would bet it's less than 1%
of
people that go into the portal actually come back to the school. Because I think a lot of times, number one, this never gets talked about, not near enough. A lot of these kids get pushed into it. That's number one. And number two, a lot of when you go in, the coaches are like, well, you can go, but you can't come back if you go. I go, there is no coming back. I think a lot of coaches look at it, and I don't begrudge them for that at all. I really don't.
Or they say you can go, but we're obviously going to recruit to fill your spot. And so you can come back, but by the time you come back, one, we might not have the same NIL offer for you, and two, we might not have the same minutes for you because we're going to recruit to fill it. We're not going to sit around and wait until to see if you're coming back or not. So we'll see. I mean, hey, ultimately, I mean, maybe we're going to see players do what we've seen coaches do so often, which is go entertain some other schools, and then because they also all of a sudden have a ton of leverage, they get more money and they come back to the first place they were at.
That'll be what's next, guys. I'm telling you right now, that's exactly what's coming. Is that just what you said, Glenn? I had a conversation about that 2 days ago, and yes, players are going to finally say, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go negotiate, but you know what? It wasn't as good. I'd rather stay. And it's going to get to where kids that are doing it are good enough to be able to do that. And that's what we're going to see, just like coaches. It's the same thing with coaches. The good coaches, they, you know what? Hey, so-and-so called me. Can you offer me this? Yes, we'll give you an extension. Guarantee you that's going to start happening.
Yep, I agree. We got to get to contracts. We got to get to some kind of control over this situation. But the NCAA and schools don't seem too eager to give student athletes an even voice to sit at the table. And I think that's what the courts want. So until they give in on that, they're going to go through this. And as my guy, Josh Pate said, sometimes you need it to get really ugly. You need the water to boil really fast so the frog can know they got to get out. And that's kind of where we're at with this. Let's take our second break. We're going to wrap it up after this as we hear from our partner, Synergy Financial Partners. Great people offering great financial products. If you're an entrepreneur or a young business person, you need to call them. I wish I'd had them when I started this company, and I might have fewer bills. That's honest.
At Synergy Financial Partners, the vision is to build the world's largest consumer financial education and empowerment company. Synergy doesn't just offer you a financial plan. At Synergy, the goal is to help you find your best financial future. Learn more at SynergyFinancial.com.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
Welcome back to this edition of the K-State Insiders. Fitz and Brian and Glenn, once again, your trio. Guys, this is only going to continue growing in terms of what K-State and the portal is going to experience here over the summer. Just take football as an example. Football still needs two linebackers, probably a backup quarterback. They've been shopping for that. An offensive lineman and a nose tackle. They have only just begun this process. So there's a lot more to be done in football. And I suspect maybe they have some guys that are pretty much on the hook. They're sitting on it for a little bit because at K-State, there's now, what, five openings for the portal? Four at least. I've lost track, I'll be honest. It just happened so fastly. They add one and then they lose another. And I think basketball is going to get really active here in the month of May. Glenn, yesterday I did a count, and our front page on a computer, not a digital device, has nine slots for pictures and headlines.
Yeah.
There were six about the transfer portal, three about the draft. Every story in our top nine was transactional, almost like professional sports.
Yeah.
It's changed so much. It's really wild how much more news we have this time of year than ever before.
It is crazy, yeah, and it feels like, I don't know, it feels like nobody's off limits, right? I mean, there are guys who you thought were going to stay that transfer. There are guys who you thought are going to transfer that stay. So it's a wild time, and, yeah, I mean, if it tells you anything, we're putting together our weekly special yesterday, and by the time we were maybe 20 minutes out from the show, and I realized that I didn't have Arthur Kaluma declared for the NBA draft in the show. In a normal week, hey, I think he was the leading scorer, or at least he was close. Hey, guy who averaged 15 points a game declares for the draft. That's maybe your lead story in a normal week, right? But instead, we had how many K-State guys get drafted, three K-State guys get drafted, two KU guys get drafted, a combined seven sign undrafted free agent deals. Some other guys got invited to rookie minicamp. Hunter Dickinson announces he's coming back. KU lost a commit that wanted to release. K-State got two commits, lost three to the portal. It was chaos, and Kaluma was a 10-second thing that we threw in at the end that was like, by the way, Arthur Kaluma declared for the NBA draft. We'll be right back after the break. And it's like, this is a story that actually normally would be pretty big and that you would spend a bunch of time breaking down. I mean, and instead, that was like our 14th most important thing to talk about. So it's a wild time. I mean, getting on here, I'm worried that like something happened in the last 55 minutes that we've been talking, you know? It's like, you got to keep, the other day I woke up and K-State had gotten two commits while I was, I think KU and K-State each had gotten a commit while I was sleeping. And I was like, geez, man, I'd start like leaving my Twitter notifications on overnight or something.
It's insane, Brian. This is craziness. But, you know, we're now doing a show every day of the week. This is good for us. We like this. Plenty to talk about.
Yeah, there's a ton to talk about, a ton going on. You know, and again, I know I get hard on fans sometimes, and it's confusing and it's disheartening. But it's just where we are, unfortunately, because I don't think anybody likes it. That's the thing. Even the people like myself that talk about it on a daily basis, nobody likes what's going on. But if you can't change what's going on, what good does it do to complain about it? You just got to roll with the punches and just deal with what's going on, because they're not listening to us. They don't care, us fans, how mad we get. Because let's just be honest, fans are always the last person that any of these people care about. So it is what it is. They always say that we're the most important, but we're not. And it's okay. We can deal with it. We're tough. We're tough as fans. And it's just, you know, we don't like it, but we just got to deal with it. And that's what's dealing, you know. And the problem is there's nothing going on right now as far as basketball and football. That's the problem. Because if we were in season, nobody'd care. Right. And we just got to get there. That's what I always say. It's the dead period, but it's not dead. That's the thing. There's crazy news going on. I love it, but it's just I just want the season to get here so we can get another season underway so we can get this behind us, because it's crazy.
Hey, a big Sunflower Showdown baseball series this upcoming weekend. So keep an eye on that. That's a testament to how much is going on, is that, like I said, that normally that could have been a big story that we spend time discussing or whatever, but instead there's so much going on that stuff that normally would be important is actually like on the back burner.
It's craziness. Yeah. It's craziness. We'll be monitoring all of this, of course, at GoPowerCat.com. Glenn's got it at Channel 27 out of Topeka, and the many other stations he operates. He runs them all out of his basement. It's incredible.
Despite the fact that my Wi-Fi doesn't work good enough for this stream, it's because I'm powering three channels.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly it. And next week when we convene, God knows what the rosters will look like at that point, but we will discuss it.
We aren't entering the transfer portal. Three of us will be back.
Yeah, nobody wants us except we want each other. That sounded horrible. We're going to leave now. Thanks for watching the K-State Insiders or listening. We'll be back next week with another episode.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!